is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And Floyd Reese, we have a lot to be thankful for. We got two big stories today on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. One, we have the Preds surviving that trap game last night, 7-1, and Pecorine winning his 300th. And two, we got the seams absolutely falling apart in college basketball. And it was a good feeling when I woke up this morning and I saw Kentucky, amongst many others, in the college basketball cheating scandal. But let's start with the Preds. So I'm an idiot, and that's going to be my Fireball hot take today.
There we go.
I feel
Get
like,
it out there early.
I feel like I'm turning into the Stephen A. Smith of the Preds. I don't know if you know this, but if you go on YouTube, there's a Stephen A. Smith video. It's like a minute 30 long, where it shows Stephen A. picked the finals for like six straight years, and each year Stephen A. gets it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Every single year. Uh-huh. And I'm looking back at yesterday, in which I said it's a trap game. I don't know if they're going to be up for it. Uh-huh. I just, you know, bonus points, which, by the way, I still thought those were two bonus points that they got. But I last night, I mean, if it was a trap game, which it was, if it was a trap game, they certainly beat the trap. But the idea of, well, I'm not sure they'll get up for it, that might have been a little wrong. Because they definitely were up for it. And they went out there yesterday and they got Pekka that 300th. And I think that says something about how this team feels about him. I think they showed yesterday how much this team wanted to win that game for him.
But, I don't think there's any doubt about how much he's respected and, you know, what kind of guy he is and what they think about him. I mean, he's been the best. I mean, you heard we were talking with Crispy yesterday. Crispy said he's the most significant player in the last 20 years. So,
and in my 20 years here, there's been no other player to do what Pecorino has done for this organization and this team.
Wow.
So in my estimation, that's pretty good. That's pretty good glory.
Wow.
That's a pretty good comeback. We had some nice kids go through here, and we've had Korea go through here, et cetera. You can go down the line. All good kids, all good players. But in my estimation, when I leave here and somebody says, so far, Crispy, what player stuck out in your mind? Pecorine is the one for me.
So I think, I mean, when you have somebody as respected as Crispy coming out and saying that, I mean, that is mighty high praise. So, and I'm sure if that's, you know, if Crispy feels that way, I'm sure Peter feels that way. I'm sure David Poyle feels that way. And you know the locker room feels that way. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier for the guy. I'm just thrilled. I'm so glad, you know, that he was able to do it at home. And I think that was part of the incentive program last night. I mean, I'll bet indirectly, maybe directly, maybe it was talked about, but I doubt it. But I think indirectly, probably every one of those guys wanted to find a way to get Pekka a nice win and have 300 at home in front of the Bridgestone crowd.
And the crowd absolutely lost it when it came to Pekka. I mean, they were going crazy last night. I just guess I underrated how much of an element that would play for that team and their motivation last night. Because, again, I wasn't saying that they should lose. I was just expecting them to lose. And then they won 7-1. And last night, Twitter was, you idiot, you said 7-1. You idiot, you said it was a trap game. It was a trap game. I stand by it being a trap game. They just didn't fall into the trap.
Does Stephen A. still project the outcome of the NBA Finals?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, all he does is talk basketball and football. So, yeah. And Stephen A's probably still, I think he picked the Warriors last year. I think that broke the streak. Although, really going out on a limb with Kevin Durant and the Warriors.
Yeah, figure that out.
But I do worry that I'm turning into the Stephen A. Smith of the Predators. Because I said no shot, absolutely no shot against Chicago last year. They swept him in four. Last Thursday, I guaranteed victory against Calgary. They went out and lost. And then, of course, there was last night. I said trap game, bonus points, not expecting a win. And it wouldn't have been so bad if they had won like 3-1 or 2-1, where it was, boy, they really eked it out. But 7-1.
They dominated.
I mean, but 7-1.
They kicked butt.
And I went to the game with Ryan, and I said to Ryan, like, at the start of the game, I think it was 2-0 early or 1-0, and I turned to Ryan, and I said, Pekka's gonna pitch a shutout tonight. He's not going to give up a goal. And then it made me realize, hey, so much for your trap game, Jared. So that's how we're starting. I would say this, too. Last night I put this out on Twitter. And, you know, I think it's always important for the fans if they want to give back to the players or the team that kind of have an avenue to do so. So I put this out last night on Twitter. In honor of Pekka winning number 300, I made a donation to Pekka's 365 fund of $300. So if you can give anything, I kind of like to, I don't want to say start a movement, but I'd like for all the people out there that were either at last night's game because we heard how loud you were, or everybody else that has been touched by the Preds in the last couple of years, or maybe you're a 20-year fan or whatever it may be. But if you want to kind of show your support for Pekka, we'd really like to raise a bunch of money today for the Preds 365 Fund. It's Pekka and Shea Weber's fund for a pediatric cancer research. And so it's right there. In fact, I'm going to retweet the link right now for you if you want to donate. If you can donate $10, $20, $15, whatever, $10, doesn't matter, but we'd like to raise some money. So if you want to, at Jared Stillman on Twitter, I just retweeted the link, but if you want to make a donation in Pekka's honor or to honor Pekka for win number 300, I think that's the way to do it. And I'd like to see how many people will get on board and donate 300 like I did, or donate whatever they can.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Some guy tweeted me back and said, I see your 300, I'll raise you 600. And he donated $600. So again, I just tweeted that link out. If we can get as many people to donate, if you can, I'd love for somebody with the Preds to go up to Pekka tomorrow or whenever and say, hey, the guys helped raise, in your honor, helped raise $10,000 or $5,000 or whatever, because, you know, every single dollar helps. Speaking of dollars, college basketball, Duke's involved, Kentucky's involved, Michigan State's involved, Arizona's involved, they're all involved now. And everybody's got players that are either getting free meals or taking money from agents. And it all came out today. Yahoo Sports, Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, they had it out there today. Floyd, what was your reaction when you saw all the names being named, the players, the guys who were in college taking 30 grand or 5 grand or 10 grand or meals or whatever it may be? What did you think of that today?
Yeah, I'm hoping this report is not thoroughly correct, but
it seems pretty correct. It's coming from the FBI.
I am suspicious. I mean, I don't it's a sad day. I mean, it's a sad day for basketball and really all college sports, but certainly basketball. I mean, you don't want to – I mean, I don't know where the sport goes from here. I mean, it's got to go back, you know, start all over. I don't know what they're going to do because there are some significant teams that are mentioned. And I think the NC2A and the FBI and everybody else has gotten it out there. And if it's out there, somebody's got to do something. And if they don't, then it's going to be a bigger mess. So you're going to have, I mean, there'll be a lot of hurt people, a lot of, you know, this is the same deal. One guy does something. We talked about this before. When a coach is gone or a coach gets fired, you know, he may be saving one family, but I mean, the other 10, 12, 15 families are now out of a job. And I'm going to guess that there are going to be a bunch of people that will join the Louisville crew in this, you know, trying to find a job program.
I'm torn on how I feel. And I know that's tough for you to hear because I don't say that very often.
No, really? From Louisville?
I mean, I'm torn.
I would be shocked.
Because there's a part of me that looks at it and says, Kentucky, Bam Adebayo, Kevin Knox, gotcha, Kentucky, gotcha, Cal, gotcha, you cheating schools. And then Kevin Stallings, Wade Baldwin is involved in that. There's a part of me that's like, hey, mister, we don't pay our kids $100,000. Hey, Kevin Stallings, where was Wade Baldwin getting that hotel room paid for? I need to know. And then there's a part of me that's like, who cares? You know, do I really care that Bam Adebayo got 30 grand from an agent last year? Does it really affect my life? Do I really care? And so I'm torn because I'm not sure I really care.
Well, I mean, let me put it to you this way. If you're one of the basketball coaches that is not mentioned, that has not cheated, and you've been working your tail off to try to beat Kentucky and beat some of these people that are cheating like crazy, you care. I mean, I promise you, you care. So, I mean, I have no sympathy for them. They've done it. They got to pay the piper, man. That's it. And you schools and everybody involved, pay the piper. You got caught. You're done. Just like Louisville.
I'm torn. And then now there's a part of me that's upset that Kentucky didn't win the championship last year. Because Adebayo got that $30,000. I would have loved the week that our banner has to come down to be like, your banner's coming down too. I do love the fact that Kevin Stallings, who I don't think cheats. Like, I don't think Kevin Stallings is a cheater, because he would win a lot more if he cheated, right? Like, you would have to hope so.
I think Baldwin just met with the agent, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think he got his hotel room paid for.
Well, yeah, but I mean, coach isn't going to have control of that.
Right, but coach isn't going to know if you're having hookers in the dorm.
No, if it's a college dorm, the coaches will know. If you leave campus and go to a hotel room with some agent someplace, coach won't know that. If you're bringing the hookers into the basketball dorm on campus, the coach should know that.
We just have to agree to disagree, Floyd.
Oh, I know.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. So here's what we're doing today, because it is your day on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are just going to load them up. College basketball scandals on the table and the Preds. 615-737-1025. We're right to your calls. And I've got one little thing about the coaches themselves, but we're to the calls on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. And everybody knows that one thing that does not cheat is Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. It's a real whiskey, unlike these others that are pretending that they're a whiskey when really they're a liqueur. That's cheating. But being the real original cinnamon whiskey is not cheating. Fireball is as authentic as it gets. So if you're out this weekend, out and about, celebrating, whatever it may be, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey is the place to be. That's right. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sleaziness involved. AAU coaches, people out there, not all AAU coaches, but guys out there dealing and wheeling with agents and the shoe companies. It starts with money. The shoe companies filter down all kinds of cash to these AAU teams with great players. They fly players in. Schools now, there's situations where AAU teams and coaches keep kids out of school for a year, keep them together as a group, because the greed to win and the dollars available if you win in AAU from the shoe companies is unbelievable. And then you get the families involved and lay cash on them. It's sad. It's a sleazy scenario that has taken place.
Dickie V seems to know a lot about where the money's going and where it's coming and how it's getting in and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's, experienced it. Not that he's been a part of it, but I mean, he's probably been close enough to see it firsthand.
Again, I don't think anybody's surprised by this. It's just, if there's a coach you don't like for me, the three guys today, Cal at Kentucky, Greg Marshall, because it came out that Fred Van Vliet, who was on Wichita State, Greg Marshall at Wichita State, because Fred Van Vliet took money, and Kevin Stallings. Those are the three guys that I'm like, but I mean, it doesn't. Again, I don't think anybody's really surprised by it, but I promise to the phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, Ashley is going to kick us off. What's up, Ashley?
Hey, as a lifelong Duke fan, the fact that a kid that was 17 years old went and took a dinner with an Adidas rep and then went to Duke, which is a Nike school, has no bearing on the Duke program whatsoever.
You know who you sound like, though, with that take, though? Because yesterday Rick Pitino had the take that they didn't win any games because they had the hookers.
Well, I mean, that's neither here nor there, but trying to put a blemish in every single headline lists Duke as one of the first teams that are indicted when the guy trying to go to an Adidas school and didn't go to Adidas school, that should not have any bearings on a program that is not even affiliated with an Adidas rep.
Interesting take. Floyd, what do you think?
I have no clue. I mean, I'm astonished at how basketball people talk about these schools. Well, that's a Nike school. That's an Adidas school. That's a I mean, I don't. You know what? It's all part of it. And you just heard, who was that was on before?
Dickie V.
Yeah, you heard Dickie talking about it. I mean, that's part of the problem. All those, which Nike school, Adidas school. I mean, it's they need to be out of there. Gone.
The shoe companies?
Yeah, get them out of there.
You know what's crazy? You know who said that like 4 years ago?
Oh.
Patino.
Did he?
Yeah, Patino was like, we don't like to talk about it because we're lining our money, and I'm paraphrasing, but I was there when he said it, we're lining our pockets with their money, but the truth is we got to get the shoe companies out of here.
Oh, yeah.
And he's right. But like, as far as the, well, Duke shouldn't be in the headlines because one of our players went to dinner with an Adidas rep, and then he went to our school, which isn't an Adidas school, I don't think that that holds any water. To me, that's where I'm torn, because how in the heck is Coach K supposed to know who everybody goes to dinner with all the time?
Yeah, see, to me, I mean, I have to agree with the caller from the standpoint that what you do off campus, you know, when you're not a part of my program, in my dorm, eating my food, being coached by me, I mean, that's your own life. And really, I have no bearing on, you know, who you're having dinner with, who you're doing whatever with. And I don't think, if that's the case, they shouldn't be penalized for that.
Let's go to Bob, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Bob?
Hey, fellas. To me, the true essence of cheating in college sports is when coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches, somebody that's a paid employee of the school pays a player to come to that school and influences them with money or cars or whatever. But once a guy gets to that school, you know, the average college player, I would say, if I wanted to hand them $1,000, they'd take it. And that's illegal. But if we put all the responsibility of a program on the decisions of players, I mean, everybody's guilty all the time. There's two different levels. If the coaches didn't pay them to come to the school and they're not paying them to stay there, how can you blame the program when a player takes money from an agent or whatever? I mean, it's two different things. I mean, it's apples and oranges. Do you guys agree with that?
This is where I have a problem with that, because, like, for example, Adidas in the Rick Pitino thing that got him fired, Adidas was the one who wanted to pay the $100,000 to get the player to Louisville. And so they, like, Rick claims he doesn't know. Rick is not really associated with any of the knowledge of that. And so under your theory, they could give a kid $100,000 funneled through Adidas, and the coaches would have never given the kid the money, so the school would be clean in that case.
Well, no, if it's in the recruiting process, you can't take any money. But once you get a guy there like Van Fleet, that guy's been playing for 8 years. He's been playing 8 years at Wichita State, Jared. He's been playing forever. He takes some money late in his career. What's that got to do with the coaches? I mean, they don't have anything to do with that. They can't stop it.
Well,
there's no
way you're not an
it.
Eligible player, though, if you're taking money. And that goes back to the...
Yeah, but if you're going to put all the weight and responsibility of a program on these knucklehead players, there's no way they can be as accountable as a coach. For example, Reggie Bush's parents lived in a house provided by an agent. How can Pete Carroll have anything to do to stop that? Should he kick his Heisman Trophy running back off the team because his parents lived in a house provided by an agent? I would say no. It doesn't seem fair to the program.
Right, but he did. They did go on probation for that.
I mean, that's why Pete went back to the NFL.
Yeah, that's why Pete left. And so, I mean, I don't. I mean, it boils down to the same thing. And this is, you know, if you're the head coach and you're in charge, you got to be in charge of everything. That's why I always, to me, I'm so amazed it's basketball, because you got what, 15 guys? Imagine if it's football. You've got 125 guys to supervise. I mean, you have no chance. It's impossible. But if you've got 15 guys, and most basketball, like at Louisville, they're in your dorm. They're right there. You know, you've got people around the whole time. Now, can they leave the dorm and do stuff? Sure they can. But, I mean, I think that's all a part of the educational process. And I'm not, to be honest with the caller, I mean, I agree with him to a certain extent. I just, this is where it gets touchy to me, is if Adidas guy comes up and says, I'm going to give you $100,000 to wear Adidas shoes, you think, okay, well, that's really harmless. But then the coach tells the Adidas guy to go to him and give him the $100,000. Now it's illegal. I mean, the coach didn't give him the money, Adidas did. So, you know, you just don't know where that all comes from. And then, of course, the Adidas people are expecting the coach, when it's all said and done, to get them back to, you know, Adidas or whatever brand it is. That's the dirty, dirty part of this.
The problem is that you can't enforce the rules. You can't enforce the rules. The rules are the rules, and I get them. And they might be unfair, but that's not a, to me, that's not the discussion. Are the rules unfair? Yes, the rules are unfair, but that's not today's discussion. But how do you can't enforce this stuff? Somebody texts you, says, hey, you want to go to dinner tonight? Okay. We go out to Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse. I'm making no money. You pay for all of it. Now, all of a sudden, I'm ineligible. But how are they going to know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that, I think part of that falls on the athlete, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I
but
think
they,
the
but they're
athlete,
not going
to
care.
No, but the athlete needs to know that if you do this, you're going to be ineligible, off scholarship, all of those kinds of things. And the problem with basketball, again, is you've got all these one-and-dones. They don't care. Why would they care? I'm not going to be here next year anyway. So do what you want. Now, if you're a freshman in college in football and you know you're going to be there for another 2 or 3 years, I mean, I think it does make a difference. But the one-and-dones, heck, who cares?
How about this? Kentucky's deputy athletic director, Dwayne Peavy, tried to stop questions to John Calipari about the Yahoo report, but they came anyway. And then I guess Kevin Knox, who's on Kentucky's team right now, who's mentioned in the report for having gone to a dinner or something, Cal says that he expects Kevin Knox to play tomorrow, which makes sense because if Knox is ineligible for having gone to dinner with that Adidas or Nike rep or whatever, or the agent, whoever he went to dinner with, if he's guilty of doing that, then all their other games this year would be vacated anyway. So I'm not sure if it makes any difference right now. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, shine has come off the apple, but we kind of all knew it was there.
The sad part now for a program like that is why would they stop? Why, you know, if they're going to get the banner taken down and get the wins voided, I mean, why not go ahead and win as much as you can and enjoy it? And if you can get to the playoffs and if you can, you know, it's the same deal. I mean, I don't know that there's a real reason for them to say, uh-oh, you know what, we got caught. And now we better try to straighten it up. It's kind of like a heck with it.
And if you're the coach, and this is where, why would you not just try to win as much as possible, get
sure.
your paychecks, and then if you get fired, you get fired. But you made
sure.
$12 million leading up to this process. Back to your call, 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And I've just got a theory on the NCAA that I think really, at least to me, makes all this come to light. We'll get back to the calls and that. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
FBI is involved. This is not about the NCAA. This is the FBI. We all know that the NCAA is the most reactionary commodity ever in existence, for crying out loud. They wait until somebody brings the hammer down to react and all of a sudden play sanctimonious. That's just their MO. But the FBI doesn't give 2 cents about that, and they're going after everybody.
Stephen A., he's right. It's the FBI, not the NCAA, with the big report today in Yahoo. Floyd, do you think the NCAA is going to do anything about any of this? Can they do anything about any of this?
They have no choice. They've got to do something.
What, are they going to suspend all the programs?
Yeah. Whatever they got to do. I mean, if they don't, guess what? They're out of business.
It's the second-seeded Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee taking on the third-seeded Belmont.
There you go. But if they don't do it, it'll be in every sport. And beyond that, the NCAA will be out of business. People will quit paying attention to the NCAA. If they don't do something, they're cutting their own throats. Now, I will say this. They could jump out and try to do something, and the schools say, you know, see ya. We're not going to put up with that. I mean, that could happen too. And again, it would go back to the fact that then the NCAA would be gone.
This comes from Kyle Tucker, who covers Kentucky for the AJC, saying, by the end of his news conference Friday, John Calipari had giant droplets pooling on his forehead and rolling down his face. Cal then said, quote, I just got done working out, guys. That's why I'm sweating. Cal.
Yeah.
You think that's why Cal's sweating?
No.
Well, that's what Cal said.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt he's sweating.
I don't think the NCAA is going to do anything because I don't think the NCAA can do anything. I think if anything's been determined by this,
well,
it's that the NCAA has no real power.
Well, that's only true if the institutions decide that to be decided to be that.
What is it? What is the NCAA going to do? Tell Kentucky, hey, you're out of the tournament. Duke, you're out of the tournament. Michigan State, you're out of the tournament.
Yeah. If they're all
Vandy,
part
you're out of
it,
the tournament.
Yeah. Anybody that's dirty is out. I mean, there's. I don't. They don't have a choice.
Then we're not going to have a tournament.
No, there'll be a tournament. Now it won't have Duke and Kentucky and Louisville in it, but there'll be a tournament. I mean, I don't think they have a choice, because if they don't do something, then what's to prevent every guy in every sport from doing this stuff?
I think that's how we got to where we are today.
No, we're talking about basketball.
I know.
Right, but if
they
we
cheat,
don't
I'm
do
sure
something
they cheat
about
football.
It, it'll be swimming, it'll be football, it'll be baseball. It'll
They're
be
cheating in football.
Everything.
They're cheating has been happening in football for forever.
I'm not saying that there hasn't been cheating, but it's certainly nothing like this.
This is a cesspool.
This is a cesspool. And if they've got to, you know, shut down the sport for a year or whatever, I'm all for it.
Shut down the sport for
doesn't,
a year.
Doesn't make a bit of difference to me.
I don't think that's an option.
I don't think it is either, but I'm saying whatever they have to do. Again, if they don't do something, then they're out of business. The NC2A's gone.
Phones. Zach is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, Jared? Floyd, hope you all are having a beautiful day.
You too.
It's beautiful outside. My take, Jared, I agree with you. There's a side of me that's tickled to death about UK coming out on the report. I'll say that. But my question is, I wonder how far the FBI is going to dig, because are they only going to look at the big-name schools? Like I said, 4 or 5 years ago, I went to Austin Peay when, you know, Chris Horton and Xavion Williams, D.D. Smith, all those guys, they all told me. I played basketball with them in the Foy. They all told me that was happening there, and I didn't believe it until, of course, as of late, you have Louisville coming out with the spotlight shining down. Now you start to see all these big-name schools. How far is the FBI going to dig? Because it's happening everywhere. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep. I mean, it goes back to, what do you want to enforce? I mean, the report about Wade Baldwin, that Wade Baldwin met with the agent that's involved in the who eventually flipped and was the FBI informant in a lot of this. Wade Baldwin met with him during his last year at Vanderbilt. So now my question is, because he met with him, and I think he paid for Wade Baldwin's hotel room while Wade Baldwin allegedly was still a student athlete at Vandy. Now, do we think Vandy's a cheating school, or do we not count that? Like, that's the thing.
No, everything counts. But that's not the same as somebody giving you $100,000. I mean, is that illegal? Sure. Did he know it was illegal? I'm sure he did. But to pay $100 for a hotel room is not the same as here's a duffel bag full of cash.
Cheating is cheating, according to the NCAA.
Yeah. Well, there's degrees of cheating.
I mean, Bam Adebayo got like $30,000 from an agent. So what does that mean? Is Kentucky season last year, their Elite Eight, is that vacated or what?
Are they out?
Yeah, he was the one and done last year. He was part of that crew with Fox.
Yeah, he's the one and done, same deal. But yeah, if he did it while he was in Kentucky, that's the rules, and they're done. Take it out. Pull it out.
You going to ban him from the tournament this year?
Sure, ban them all.
That's not an option.
Sure. What are you going to tell schools that don't cheat?
What are you going to tell CBS?
What are you going to tell UCLA? I went to UCLA. UCLA is not among those. Now, they may be before long, but they're not among those. Now, you're telling me USC is. So you're telling me you got to compete against CBS while they're cheating? I mean, what the heck? No.
If UCLA was cheating, they wouldn't have to go steal those sunglasses in China. Have Trump get them out.
I mean, we got thieves and gangsters, and we're not cheating. So,
does anybody think, though, that LeVar Ball's son is not cheating?
I have no idea. But you can't take programs that are trying to do it right and look them in the eye and say, well, we're not going to penalize all these guys that did all this stuff that the FBI discovered. I mean, what they're doing, there may be a bunch of those guys end up in jail or fined or something. I mean, it may be, who knows where this thing ends up. But you can't, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like any law that you break a law. And if you're not punished, then guess what? Pretty soon everybody's breaking that law. That law doesn't exist.
Tristan is up next on the college basketball scandal. What's up, Tristan?
Hey, what's going on? I'm not talking about a college basketball scandal. I'm sorry about that. I just don't pay enough attention to talk about it.
Good, man.
I just want to tell you, Jared, that I'm the idiot. You're not the idiot from last night's Preds game. I lackadaisically was like, if we win, cool. If we don't, cool. Honestly, I feel like we have Pacific teams' numbers except for Vegas. I wish we played them one more time just to see how well we can perform against them. But I do look forward to the to just the way the Preds are continuing to play. 7-1 was outstanding, and I hope they continue that run moving into the Blues game and just moving on to that West Coast road trip coming up in a couple of days. I'm hoping it's great.
Yeah, I look at the two games against St. Louis, and thank you for the call. I look at the two games upcoming against St. Louis and Winnipeg, and I'm like, those are big games because they're division teams, and you're getting to March, and you're probably going to play – you're definitely going to play a division team in one of the first two round series. And so that's what I'm looking at least personally, about how this is going to.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Especially St. Louis, who hasn't beaten you this year, to beat them on national TV after you knocked them out of the playoffs last year and they haven't beaten you this year. God, that would be nice.
Oh, yes,
that
would
be nice. Yeah. Nicholas is up next on the college basketball scandal. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I hope you guys are doing all right.
Yep. Go ahead.
Basically, you know, looking through this FBI investigation, you know, I've noticed that, you know, obviously if it's a player taking money, hey, that's one thing. And although I think that rule is a little bit silly, I understand it. But if it's a parent or like a family member, an uncle, I've noticed like Josh Jackson with Kansas, his mom took $2,700. How does the university control that or a coach? Because obviously they're most likely not going to be aware of a personal loan to a parent or an uncle or a cousin. For one of their players, how do they handle that, and should they have some type of repercussions as a university handed down by the NCAA? What should they do there?
See, now that's a tough one. Thank you for the call.
I think that's a tough one too. I mean, that's one that's almost impossible. And the truth is, you know, if people are getting in trouble by giving cash to the kid, they turn around and give it to the family, and you know, now what do you do? And people say, well, you know. We'll have a rule against that too, and we'll
because Cam Newton's dad started all that.
Yeah,
with Cam,
we'll do
whatever, the money.
And then pretty soon it's going to be well, we're going to give her a job as a TV watcher and pay her $2,700. Oh, okay. I mean, that's why you have to put rules against these things. Otherwise, it goes to, you know. I remember stories when I was a kid of a guy named Eddie LeBaron. You would never even have a clue who that is.
True.
But he was actually paid at the University of Pacific to keep livestock off the football field. That was his job.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very difficult.
No. Especially when there's no livestock. But, you know, they got found a way to give him money.
It's like our jobs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why it's so... It's so important to put or just put it, you know, forget it all. And it just becomes the wild, wild west, you know. But now you're just starting a new pro leagues. You start paying all these kids and everybody making money and getting it from somebody. Then, you know, you've got the NFL and the sub NFL and the NBA and the sub NBA and on.
So Harold, who apparently is listening in Seattle on Twitter, Harold says he just sent in $10 to honor Pekka Rinne with Pekka's 365 Fund. Once again, you can do that. I've retweeted the link at Jared Stillman, but last night in honor of Pekka's 300th win, I donated $300 to his 365 Fund. Of course, that is for pediatric cancer research. So we're inviting everybody, if you want to make a donation on behalf of you to honor Pekka, do that with his 365 Fund. I've retweeted the link at Jared Stillman. You can do that. So I want to give Harold a little shout out right there, Floyd, for donating $10. Whatever you can donate, go ahead and donate it. We'll try to get as much money raised today as possible. Speaking of Pekka and speaking of those spreads that the caller brought up. So last night I told you on the show I thought they were going to lose. And they didn't lose. So how impressed were we with the Preds' win over San Jose? We'll get into that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Pekka, career win number 300. What does this number mean to you?
Yeah. sorry. I guess emotional. Been fortunate to be here for a long time in the good teams, and you know, it's a lot of wins and a lot of hockey. So you guys been a big part of it. Thank you.
That was Pekka last night. The fans let him know when he wins number 300. Jared the GM in a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So again, I came out yesterday, said trap game. Trap games. I mean, I didn't really pick them to lose last night, but I definitely suggested that I thought it was likely on some level or another.
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, I didn't come out and say they will lose.
No, but trap game means what?
That they're trapped to lose. Yeah, that it's a trap.
Yes.
That it's a trap.
And they're going
to
lose.
And it was a trap, and they didn't fall for the trap. So you have to give credit where credit is due. I'll say this. I went to the game last night, and early on I saw them skating up and down, and I thought to myself, it doesn't look like they fell into the trap game, because it definitely looks like they're up to play. And then it just said, goal, 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 goal. And every time, the point you always bring up is it's somebody different. First it was Bonino, and then it was Fiala, and then it was four different guys.
Seven
scored.
Goals, seven different people.
You would figure, you know, it's Yarncroke, and it's Ekholm, and it's Johansson, and it's Arvidsson, and it's... How impressive was last night's win? I mean, you know, we look at it more like... This is going to sound crazy. We look at... It's tough to look at each individual hockey game and say that one hockey game has a direct effect on the entire season like we will when we get into the playoffs, when we will analyze what happens in all three periods of every game. And yet I came away from last night's game, and I know that they were jazzed up to win number 300 for Pekka, but I walked away saying, my God, this team, when they really want to play, like a couple weeks ago against Los Angeles and last night against San Jose, when they really want to play, they can take somebody who's pretty good, which San Jose is, they can take them to the woodshed. And they did that last night. So on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most impressive something could be, it was like an 8 or a 9 last night.
At this time yesterday, probably this very segment, we were saying, this is a trap game. And you know what? If they win,
bonus points,
just fine. If they lose, just fine. We won't care. It's not a big deal. Either way, you know, however it happens, it happens. And now today, it's changing the momentum of the entire season.
I didn't say that. I didn't say it changes the momentum of the entire season. The next two games, St. Louis and Winnipeg, are infinitely more important than last night's game. I was just really impressed. Like, I was impressed that a game that is sandwiched after you win two games to start the week, with two games upcoming that are huge divisional games, that you put that effort out there on a Thursday night against San Jose. They beat the living daylights out of them last night. That's a big deal to me. Like, that is a huge deal. I was impressed now. Now, again, I said yesterday on the show, I go, if they lose, I'm not going to sit up here and complain and moan and groan about it. But I didn't say that if they win, we're not going to talk about it or be excited with how they played. Again, I was really impressed last night. Seven goals by seven different guys? I don't know why you're laughing at me.
It's so sad.
Why are you laughing?
I mean, dude,
am I not allowed to be impressed?
How much you could change in 24 hours? I mean, if it was 2 weeks ago or a month ago, I could say, yeah, I forgot a little bit. But I mean, it was. You need to go back and listen to yesterday's show.
I know what I said.
And then listen to yourself now.
I know what I said. We've been over what I said. I said last night was a trap game, and I was not expecting them to win. And if they did win, bonus points. They got their bonus points, and they did it in really impressive fashion. I don't know what's wrong about that. I don't know, like, why I shouldn't say that. Why I shouldn't have that take. I don't know how that's a bad take.
You can have any take you want.
But you're acting like it's not a real take. I think it's a real take.
Well, I mean, to you it is.
But why is it not allowed to be a real take?
Because you have so many different takes, it means nothing. If the you have to have a take when it really means something.
If the Cleveland Browns were to go out and beat the Patriots 41-14, would you not be impressed with what the Cleveland Browns did?
Oh, I wouldn't think they beat them at all. I think it would be that that probably they threw seven interceptions and fumbled five times.
Okay, but let's say that the Browns scored seven touchdowns and that the Patriots only scored one, just like last night. Would you not be impressed with what the Cleveland Browns did? Would you come in on Monday and say, like, Tate, when Kansas City beat New England week one, right, and Kansas City just marched up and down the field and just knocked the daylights out of them, were you not impressed with Kansas City in week one?
I was.
I mean, I was like, I thought the Patriots were a lot better than them, but I was impressed with Kansas City. Were you not impressed with how the Titans played in the second half after how they played in the first half of the Kansas City game?
Well, yeah, but we weren't sitting here the day before saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If they lose, so what? If they win, so what?
Bonus points.
It's not a big deal. We're not going to get excited. We're not going to get mad. It just is what it is, and we'll kind of play it.
I didn't say I wouldn't get excited. I said then, I would not get mad if they lost.
Here we are. Hot take. I'm excited about this.
That's not a hot take. That's just a take. Okay. A hot take would be like, you know what? I think they should cut Pekka. That's a hot take. Like when Skip Bayless goes on TV and says Colin Kaepernick is better than Marcus Mariota, that's a hot take. Saying, boy, I was impressed with how they played last night in their 7-1 win. That is not a hot take. That's just a take. It's just a regular take. I watched it. I was impressed. Take. You don't even have a take. At least I have one.
I don't. You know what? I don't like sounding spouting off every 5 minutes about stuff that never happens. That's not a take to me. A take is when you say something, really believe it, and hope it happens.
I believe
when you just throw crap against the wall to see what sticks is not a take.
I believed yesterday was a trap game. And now I don't believe it. After, well, I still believe it was a trap, but I thought that they overcame the trap.
All right.
And I stand by that.
Okay.
It's now time to take a look at the Honda Classic Leaderboard out there at Palm Beach Gardens. And, of course, the Honda Classic Leaderboard is presented by our friends at PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links. Visit PXG.com. For more information in the Honda Classic, tied for first is a trio of Americans. Luke List is done for the day. He's 3 under par along with Justin Thomas and with Daniel Berger. Meanwhile, Webb Simpson, Russell Henley, and Rory Sabatini are all 1 stroke back. They're all tied for fourth. That's a look at the Honda Classic Leaderboard presented by PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links. Visit PXG.com for more information. We'll take your calls, but coming up next, we're going to talk about Pekka winning his 300th. It's Jared the GM on ESPN at 102.5 The Game.